Now, the bodies. Anybody else who should be in Rusty here, apart from Balcrap? Or Weir? Dave's not sure if you'd be or not.
It's okay.
Alright. So, before we get into my list, is there anything from the last meeting that anybody needs to pick up or discuss? Or the action points that needed to be followed up? I haven't got any notes or anything, so I don't know whether there's anything carried forward.
Thanks.
Nothing?
I think so,
no. Cool. Okay. Right. Would you like to start? Talk about the turkeys.
Before we start, what's the plan for next Monday?
Actually, we did mention this at the last 12 meeting, but obviously people are sending us letters and all sorts of different things, asking for prayer and for ministry, people are phoning up. Mm-hmm. So we felt that we need to say, well, what's God saying about this, really? And who on the ministry team, if anyone has a heart for what do people feel they're mandated to do now?
Yeah.
In a sense of... are people feeling mandated to do things on Skype for people who are not actually physically present here? What do we do? Because everything gets past the 7 and we're like... So...
How do we do that?
This discussion that we had last time was... Okay, so it's our responsibility to facilitate the ministry team, but it's not our responsibility to pick up all these letters mm-hmm. and different things that come along. So we thought God was saying, so we really need to find out where people are at with it all.
Right.
In a sense of...
So what's going to happen to all the letters and all the things that come along with you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we talked about that last time, didn't we? In a sense, I don't know if I can remember what you said.
Well, if they're addressed to the church, then it is the seventh's responsibility to look at them and say, well, okay.
One of the things that we talked about was what does it say on the website? Because if it offers prayer and ministry, and no one actually feels mandated to do that now, in a sense of things have changed, then it needs to come off.
Yeah.
But we won't really know that until... We get together with
but it people. Isn't. It isn't on the website. Anyway.
There is actually something on the website that needs to come off because day some guys turned up from Minehead wanting to join the prayer meeting, which is apparently still on the website.
Okay. Well, I have asked them to go through it and strip off everything that's not current.
Well, it's Grace working in the morning now, so it wasn't.
Oh, right, I see what you mean in the prayer room.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So we felt really our first step was to see, well, what's God actually corporately saying to us about it, and we thought that the best thing to do would be to get together anybody who's on the existing ministry team or anybody who's interested to say, what's God saying to you? How do we move forward?
So is that to deliver something here, or is that to Skype with people or do telephone calls? Or
what we figured was anybody who showed an interest, if they turned up or if they couldn't turn up, spoke to us, we could then say what do people feel that their mandate is for going forward for this. Because in the past we have had people who've Skyped live busts and different things like that, which if people still feel mandated to do that, then that's fine. We can...
Yeah. Yeah,
put people in that direction, but if people don't, then we need to be free
some
to say
of the
if
letters,
we don't offer that.
Some of the letters are...
I mean, some of them have been crazy recently.
Well, yeah, they're not in any way something that we would consider...
Choose to respond to.
No,
well, the one recently that landed on our table was just bizarre. It was about some woman in America and all these demonic manifestations and this and that.
Yeah.
She wanted... It was just like, well, what do we do with these things? And whose responsibility would it be to respond to? Where is it?
Just,
you know, it's not...
Yeah. Looking at that, you just think, this isn't something that we would get involved in, because it's not...
No, but some of these things need responding to, so whose responsibility is it to respond to it, even if it's to say, sorry, we don't offer those things?
Yeah.
That's the kind of...
Yeah.
Surely that's an admin-y thing, is it?
Well, if someone has to instruct someone to reply to something, if it's addressed to the church, then it's a question of...
That's what we're trying to clarify, what are we offering, what do
you
we...
would see that would be. And some of them are just basically ignore them. you know, because there are people are off the deep end with stuff. I mean, they email all the time, and you know, I mean, I filter most of the emails because they're just like that. Nah, because I know that they're never going to respond to what we're doing. They're looking for old style deliverance or support, or yeah, sort my problems out because I've got all these demonic attacks and all that sort of stuff. So I just say, if you want to do this, we have a way of teaching where we engage heaven. Here are some teaching sessions you can go and buy. Courts of heaven, whatever. I just point them to, if you're really serious, you can learn how to do this yourself. We do not offer that type of ministry. And that's what generally we do when we get emails.
Yeah,
we just basically filter them out and say we don't offer that.
But what we felt we need to do is really also clarify the current ministry team here. What does that look like now? Yeah. Obviously in a sense of the healing stuff, and it's not just praying for people to be delivered, is it? It's the whole ministry team is like, are there people, if somebody wants help with healing, are there people who say, yes, I'll step in with you too? So we thought the best thing to do would be to just call together people together and just step into heaven and see what God's saying to people, really, to find out where people feel they're at with it now, as opposed to where they were when we set it up a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then I guess we just feedback and... Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have standard replies that you've already formulated? It's just send that one, or do you just decide what to say whenever it comes through, depending on how you're feeling?
I mean, most of the stuff comes via Facebook or something. So a lot of it's personally directed towards me,
yeah,
not just necessarily towards the church. We do get some emails that come on the info@freedomarc thing, which is the church sort of email address. Those, again, I just sort of look at and see what God wants me to say, generally. And that's always different, because everyone's different in what they're asking, and there are no standard emails. They're all people are just sort of saying something, and then I reply to what I think.
I mean, the last one that we had was a couple of weeks ago from somebody, I forget where he was from, but it was a guy who contacted Sam from somewhere up country, who said he was coming down on a Sunday for ministry.
He didn't come,
which was fine, but it was just like, well, we don't do that. Is that kind of...
Well, other than in the general context of God's presence is here, mm-hmm. and...
That's not what he was coming for. He was coming for ministry.
Yeah. And previously, a few people have come, but we've made it clear that... You know, we're not going to be laying hands on them and praying for them unless it's something clearly that God tells us to do. So generally, you know, there's a few and far between. You know, we did get a guy come down from London way before, but he wasn't...
But sometimes people who have connection with us may sort of phone, email or whatever to ask for prayer.
Yeah,
so we really need to know, well, is it something that God is saying to people now to be... doing by Skype or whatever.
Essentially, the Engaging God program is very clear that that isn't something we offer.
Mm-hmm. So it would be really, I think the primary thing would be to have some standard letters and name them, letter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and say to Sam, please send out response 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, depending on which is most appropriate. Fill in the blanks. It just makes it straightforward. But ministry isn't laying on of hands anyway, is it? It's primarily going to be deliverance or deeper kind of...
Well, that depends really what they want, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, but if people are travelling from London for
they need to
ministry, they need to know, actually, we don't have somebody who would just spend the morning with you, praying with you. I'm not saying for one second that God can't meet someone in that place and amazing things can't happen, but it's dealing with people's expectation, isn't it, in a sense of...
So I mean, there's a lady who contacted us from, I don't know, Finland or Norway or somewhere, saying she'd like to visit on a Sunday, see what we do. Didn't want ministry, just wanted to see what we do, see how we did things. Mm-hmm. So we were like, well, okay, but you need to be aware that you know, there isn't this, 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 and this. It's just, you know, if you want to see what we do outside of the Sunday, then you need to probably stay over on the Monday and look at what we do in general. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was like, didn't have any sort of, there was no, I want something. It was just like, I want to see how you do things. You know, so it was just like, okay. So I think, you know, Sam or Jeremy come sort of back. And so she said, well, what, you know, she was asking, is there a particular week that might be better than another week or something? So, but that's, you know, occasional that sort of thing happens.
No, but it might get more. No, it might just need to have the.
But in that situation, you just sort of say, well, if you'd like to come, you're totally entitled to come. If we, what are you looking for? You know, it's sort of like, okay, are you looking for more insight into how these, because you are called to do something yourself, then that would be something that probably as a far thing we would maybe look to engage with.
Yeah, so what,
because it would be something we could probably help with.
So is that something that Sam or Jeremy, whoever does that, would just direct you in the first place?
Well, they filtered that out, didn't they? That wasn't sent at 7.
No, we were aware of that.
Yeah, but you should be aware of it.
Yeah, somebody asked me.
Yeah, but you should be aware of it.
Yeah.
Because it's communication, isn't it? It's communicating, hey, someone's saying they'd like to come for a weekend. You know, this just...
Well, what we were told, somebody wants to come when you're speaking, and we were like, well, we don't know if that may or may not happen.
Yeah, you want to let him speak again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then that's why you have to communicate.
That's the point, it did come here.
Yeah, but it should do.
It's because he may come.
No, it should. You should be aware if someone is saying they'd like to come. It's just common courtesy that we let you know, isn't it?
Well, no, if they're coming, it's like people may come all the time, surely.
Yeah. But this was someone who was asking specifically for a weekend.
All right. Anyway, so if you go actually, back to the ministry stuff, that's what it's about, to find out really where people's hearts are, where they feel these days, what God's saying to them for their involvement to be, and then we can be clearer when we get these letters or emails or whatever else if people actually...
But people must be getting our details from somewhere, so do we need to just put something on the website that knocks a lot of this on the head before it comes up? Our position on prayer, and laying on of hands, our position on ministry, our
expectations
is you will have done this, that and the other before you even think about contacting us.
Mm-hmm.
It might be.
Yeah, but
why not just put something that filters this out?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I kind of got, well, presumably some of these people are desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but basically qualify, manage expectation and handle the call. So just qualify what is it that they think they're doing somehow, and that could be a stock answer, which is we refer you to the website, we don't do things perhaps how you expect. But we still think we can help, you know, manage expectation basically. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't host things and that sort of stuff, but you know, it's totally open. Worship on Sundays, you're welcome to come. By then you'll know that who's available for doing that.
You don't
want
to
things.
Just be saying to people, oh, you have to go and buy this resource, because it's very kind, is it? No. If that's your pet answer, but it's like, go buy this resource.
But expecting someone else to sort someone's problems out because they're not able to do it themselves because they're not tried out, you can't help people like that.
No, you can't, but sometimes people don't understand that they can do it themselves.
Oh, well, this is why we point them to the teaching that helps them.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes that can be a bit like...
That can be a bit like, we're always after your money.
To be honest,
But we're not able to help them in other ways, other than we point out, hey, we've got a lot of free material about transformation, we have a transformation series, but we have a lot of free material on the website, which actually points to ways in which you can be transformed by engaging God. You know, there's things we point people to because there's free resources out there.
But what we're saying is, is that well enough understood by staff and other people to be able to say to people, this is right in this situation, here's some free resources you can listen to. Our website is clear that we do not offer ministry in the traditional sense, so therefore don't come to us looking for that. Have we provided the right customer service? My suspicion is not. Mm-hmm. So maybe we just need to look at this and be a little better prepared for more of this sort of stuff.
That's my concern. Is that personally, I think if they're that chaotic, they'll check themselves out of the gene pool anyway. So we probably won't have, you know, even if they say they're going to turn up, they ain't going to make it. You know, they've got to get it together to get it, haven't they?
Yes.
You know, in the first place. So if they're... If they're that far out, they're probably not going to have a problem anymore.
True.
Mm-hmm. So really, but in amongst all of this, are the golden nuggets. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in amongst all of this, there's going to be genuine people that are going to turn up and go, that has just ignited me, or I've had revelation, or wow, I've been looking for that all my life. And I think mm-hmm. it's dangerous for us to auto-respond to people that suspect that may be what's going on, by just having a stock answer that says, I refer you to my previous answer. So I just think maybe something a little bit gentler on the qualification, which is pointing out what we actually do and managing the expectation, and then see what happens after that.
Yes.
Because if they come back with a lucid answer to that, then we've already pre-qualified them.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they come back and go, actually, yeah, I know all of that, and I don't expect anything from you guys, I just want to come like the lady from
Norway
and says, actually, I'm not expecting to be a burden, I'm just trying to fit in. We'll come back as an answer, and it'll be great, you know what, so you're expecting, and we can do that.
Yes.
So just a gentle bar. I don't, because I think I would hate for us to just send everybody straight out the outdoor just because they rang up. You know, I mean, it feels a bit like that. You know, a bit.
Yeah. No, I look at what that someone's written, and I assess and discern what I need to say, if anything, because sometimes something's just so bizarre, it's just like.
Yeah.
I'm not getting into this because I know there'll be a whole string of other stuff once you reply that will keep coming. So I look for, okay, what God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Right. And respond in that way. Generally, people who are looking for, I want more information, how do you do all this stuff? Mm-hmm. Then I point them to the Engaging God program and the free stuff that we've got that will help them look at more. But a lot of people have already looked at some of that, so they're then looking for something more.
They're suspects. Mm-hmm. There's more.
And so those who are not looking for, I want ministry, but mm-hmm. I'm really interested to how I can do these things, mm-hmm. then we generally point them towards the Engaging God program and L3.
In a sense, those are the easy ones.
Yeah.
Because you can have a lucid conversation with them and point them in the direction of a program. The ones that have come through to the seven are not them.
No.
They're the ones who are like looking for something more and looking for somebody to do something for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we're just saying is we need a better system to deal with those and actually filter them out, because your responses to the lucid ones is absolutely correct, fine, and that's very helpful. But this other bunch are creating a problem, and if we get more and more and more of those, they'll create a bigger and bigger and bigger problem. So we need to put a better response system in for those.
We need to create something on the website that addresses that and what we can and can't do. And then basically that we made it clear there.
But do we need to see what comes out of the ministry team meeting?
Well, yeah, because essentially someone may feel, I've got a ministry to do stuff online. And if they do, then we can say, well, actually, we do have someone who's quite interested to connect with people online. But that's because they've got a mandate to do it, mm-hmm. not because we're feeling pressured to do it. Because actually, we shouldn't. You know, if we shouldn't feel pressure to do anything. We just need to do what God's saying to do, and that will come out of this meeting. But there's no reason why we shouldn't put something on the website once you've had this meeting to actually explain what it is we feel God is saying in that direction.
I think it'd be helpful to do that.
I mean, just looking at the members area, the leadership. I mean, it's like Hazel is there. He's one of the seven.
Well, I thought I took all that off. Oh, okay. As far as I'm aware, I took it off.
Well, maybe my phone's gone into backward mode.
Well, it could be cached. It could be cached, but I thought I took all that stuff off. But
it still says Hazel Simmons, and we all are very young.
I did that. Liars! Liars! False misrepresentations!
Oh, dear.
Yes, so perhaps some updating required.
Yeah. Basically, we need to ask Sam to look at that. I have asked him to do it before.
Sam was here last time when you were talking about
it. I know.
And he asked him to do it.
But then I also asked him to produce a list of things that we could offer people as well.
We've got that.
You've got a list of the things that are generally things that can point to if they want teaching or they want information. So, the next step would be obviously just clarify, get the website sorted.
Right. Well, we'll pick it up as part of a review of website stuff then. Next thing to consider is whatever happens on Monday needs to be informed by the wider picture as well, doesn't it? The therapies, stuff we're moving into.
Possibly.
people will be called to that, but if they don't know, they won't be able to say. So, do you want to explain some of that? Yes.
We did talk about therapies, not in the last meeting, the meeting before. At the beginning of December, or the middle of December meeting. And I did ask here whether anybody was interested in being involved, but I didn't actually get any feedback one way or the other, whether, you know, anybody feels talking to them. But the potential therapies lined up are forgiveness therapy, and I was asking God what you want to start with, and feel that we need to be looking at mindfulness to start off with, because that's something that's really familiar to people that we're dealing with. And so there's some courses booked for March to start mindfulness. And what I feel is that's really important, because teaching people to get their heads in the right space, especially for meditation and being able to do engagements with God, mm-hmm. and help with that. So it's a precursor to be able to moving into maybe doing some meditation or some activations with peace and truth and love, that kind of thing. So that's a starting point. We'll also be doing forgiveness therapy, and there's a training weekend booked, which is the third weekend in March, I believe. Let me just double check.
Can't be the third weekend, can it? Isn't that the wedding?
It's after the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. On my first week.
So when's the wedding?
17th.
It's 24th and 25th of March is the forgiveness therapy. And that's going to be down at Marketplace. And what we've agreed is potentially how it could work would be to, because the training involves having training at the weekend and then having somebody coming and observing and being involved in the practical application of it. Mm-hmm. And so probably a Thursday would be the day that we would be sort of doing forgiveness therapy. And my thought was that we would start with practicing on each other. So get some volunteers.
Victims.
Yes, from the church. But actually everybody who wants to be involved with helping with forgiveness therapy will also have to have gone through the process themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we could start with each other, get some practice under our belt, and then do similar to how Marketplace did theirs, and in fact do a trial run, because how it works is they do like benchmarks, so before and after, which are recognised as mental health assessments, so official mental health assessments of somebody's state of anxiety or depression. And so that holds sway with other agencies and people that we're working with, doctors, surgeries, that kind of thing. So we want to do it properly and make sure that not only will it benefit people that we see here, but also we could get referrals eventually, and we could also do them in the evening or as part of healing rooms, that kind of approach.
So if you're going to practice here, how many sessions are there? How many sessions would one person have to go through to be practiced on?
It's actually a course, so it would be up to initially it was 12?
12.
But what they're finding at the moment is that most people are fitting between 10 and 8 weeks. So So as they're getting better, God is speeding up the process, because you have somebody in the room who's praying, and with a lot of stuff that we know, I think that we can combine stuff. So we can... God's been taking me on a journey with parts, and a lot of people have stuck parts, but actually what you can do is go into the spirit and speak to people's parts.
Mm-hmm.
So people who might be struggling to forgive, there might be actually a stuck part there. So in the spirit, the person who's there can be speaking in the spirit to anybody's stuck parts, because they're autonomous, because God gives them freedom of choice as well. We can actually speak to them and say, do they want to be healed? Do they want to sort of not be carrying around their burden? And that, I think, will speed up the process of getting people ready to and into that place where they can forgive. But it's going to be, you know, a learning curve. You know, God will speak to us as we learn how to do it. It's not going to be just a simple, straightforward pattern. I believe that God will teach us as we as we're going along, as to how we can.
We will have to follow their protocol.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we do. We'll be. That's the whole reason of being taught how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is quite a commitment for someone even to be practiced on, to go through 8 to 10 weeks. I guess it's quite a long time,
well,
isn't it?
if
they haven't really got a serious problem, or if they're not really, I need help with forgiveness.
I don't think there's anyone that would not benefit.
No, I'm not saying they won't, but it's still quite a thing to get a number of people to commit to that, you know, type of thing. We'd have to sort of.
But it's no more than doing a year's worth of transformation.
No,
it's less, isn't it?
It's a fresh start.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it's a similar sort of thing. And every time we do forgive and release, like, everybody benefits from it. It's not just I've done that. So there's also. It also addresses other issues as well, so it's not just forgiveness. Alice and I went down to Marketplace the other week, and we looked at identity therapy, which is something else that they're developing. And what Lindy said is that overlaps with forgiveness therapy, so some of the learning that's coming from that is applied to forgiveness therapy, and vice versa. But there's also something thought therapy, and that's something that God's been talking to me about in terms of our thinking, and that's obviously one of the things I shared last year about actually how we think, and it determines our processes. We know we've got pillars, you know, there's all those things that I should just spend some time with God to look at actually how do we integrate that, because if you just got to speak to some of the guys in the day centre and find out that actually their heads are just complete sheds, and most people's behaviours stem from a mindset of some kind. And so everyone, you know, us included, can benefit from getting our thoughts, taking our thoughts captive. And
Have you read Dr. Caroline Leaf?
Yeah, I've done a lot of
that. She does a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And mind maps and thought therapy.
Yeah, I'm doing her 21-day detox. So she's really, really brilliant. Good. Yeah, she's really brilliant. So, but there is actually a lot of we're actually sort of at a time where the world is waking up to mental health issues in a big way, and so it's becoming really a mainstream topic. But there's also new research all the time coming through, filtering through, about depression and linked to lack of identity, lack of understanding your destiny, anxiety, again, it's fear-based, can be generational. So actually science is proving what we know in terms of people needing to be healed. So back along, I felt that God say that we would introduce it by stealth. So that we're starting off with counsellor, and then then there'll be forgiveness, then there'll be mindfulness, which again, quite common, forgiveness, and then, you know, we'll get more and more and more where people are starting to realise that actually what and who they're actually connecting with is mm-hmm. Jesus. But it will gradually, and this, mm-hmm. I was at training last week, which totally, although it was secular, totally fed into what we're doing with therapies,
mm-hmm.
with having a psychologically informed environment and trauma-informed care. So they're talking about actually early childhood trauma impacts people's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're aware of that, but what they weren't coming up with were solutions. Because their only solution, as far as they're concerned, are extreme sort of like mental health teams and stuff like that. And what they were saying was actually just listening to people and acknowledging that their trauma is what's got them to this place means that they're not being alienated and they're not. And so it was just perfect timing in terms of looking at actually where going to be providing an answer mm-hmm. that's not going to be reliant on the mental health team or the crisis team or mental health services which really are non-existent
mm-hmm.
For those people who are in that kind of bracket, you know, they only really deal with people who are extreme mm-hmm. alters, schizophrenia, mm-hmm. danger to themselves
mm-hmm.
or others because they don't have the resources, whereas mm-hmm. actually we've got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just all, you know, slotting into place there. So the thing really will be who wants to be involved in delivering therapies, if anyone. And they've also been looking at integrating POTS, some kind of POTS therapy.
I think that is really, really important.
Yeah,
it's key.
Really. I've been doing a lot in the spirit, so I've been going to people where God's given me a mandate to, and speaking to stuck parts for people who aren't actually present, and helping them to integrate. So POTS therapy, or I don't want to call it POTS therapy, it needs to be something else, but effectively that's what it would be. It would be about talking and...
maybe use the positive and the integration therapy or something,
yeah.
You know, just sort of the positive side of it.
Yeah.
Or wholeness therapy or something
yeah.
like that, which is a really
yeah.
positive word, isn't it?
Yeah. So those are the things that actually are being worked on at the moment. But I think that I feel that if tomorrow we went out and said we've got integration therapy available, then we just wouldn't have any takers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're building the bridge at the moment towards getting it to be, actually this is comfortable for people, this is going to be familiar to people, and they're going to be start coming into it. And then I do feel that as we roll it out, it's going to be applicable for church, it's going to be applicable for people who come to conferences and intensives,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be applicable to the wider community, yeah, the guys in the housing, and all the people that we engage with at the moment, but also to the wider community.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So we'll become a place of exchange.
Yeah. But one thing that was really clear with Marketplace was they have success by not using the word religious terms. So they don't say God or Jesus or Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They use terms that people relate to, so whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people relate to love or truth or light,
mm-hmm.
Peace. And when I was asking God about parts, integrating parts, he said to me that it will be, you know, God will be love, Jesus will be either truth or light, and
mm-hmm.
Peace for Holy Spirit, in terms of being able to, we know what we mean, we know the environment that we're creating, but you know, people just, you know, people need to connect with peace, because so many people who suffer from anxiety, anxiety is just as life controlling as alcohol or drugs. It's debilitating. So, you know, those are the sorts of things that actually we're going to be connecting to and seeing healed. But the flip side of that is internalised trauma, and that level of anxiety or depression can actually cause physical ailments as well. So it's kind of runs parallel. Any thoughts or feedback?
What about the other sort of alternative things? You also did some oils and stuff.
Oh yeah, we did this massage. I didn't actually realise what it was, to be truthful. It kind of talked about meridians and energy lines and things like that, and I was kind of, oh, that's really interesting. So I sort of, it was Spell Track who found it, and I thought, I said to God, you know, do I have a mandate to go? And he's like, yes. I was like, okay, fine, we're going. When we got there, it was massage, and which was really excellent. It was a really excellent day. The teaching was really good. It was doTERRA oils, which is similar to Young Living oils, so really good quality. And that was about releasing trauma and bringing balance back into the system, the body, mm-hmm. which we've been certificated to deliver that, which actually I'd really love to do. Definitely need a
table.
Massage table to do it, because it's just not possible to do it anywhere else. It's mm-hmm. just murder on your back, and you can't, you don't quite create the same environment in terms of relaxing and that kind of thing. So I did think that wouldn't be suitable for guys here, although some of the ladies would probably benefit from it in the day centre. But it is something that we could offer as a church, we could offer that as part of healing rooms, that kind of thing.
And it was massage, sort of hands, feet,
there
back
was, well, it's back and feet, so yeah. And there was 7 or 8 of us. We were just in one room, so it was, you know, you have to sort of take your clothes off, but it was done, you know, there are ways of doing it that is, you know, really sensitive. We'd have to have a separate room, we'd have to, you know. Well, one thing it didn't cover contraindications or contraactions. So we would actually need to look into that if we were to mm-hmm. do it other than church or friends,
mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that we're covered insurance-wise. But certainly it's a possibility. It's also a possibility in terms of being a paid-for service,
mm-hmm.
Because you would need something to generate income to replace the oils, certainly. Mm-hmm. But really relaxing. So you do the back and then you do the feet. I actually have my feet done, which is like a miracle, because nobody's allowed to touch my feet. Even if I go to the podiatrist, she doesn't like tie my feet down. But it was really good. And but at the end we also did a bit of hand massage. So that's potentially something that we could offer as a, it could be like a treat one-off afternoon, kind of like, let's have hand massage.
And using oils.
Using oils,
And is that sort of, is there set oils for set things, or do you sort of...
You can use any oil
basically
for that.
Basically, you sort of choose
them.
Stuff you did for the back and feet, it was a sequence of oils.
It was a sequence of oils, that you use a set oils to, and you're doing it along the energy lines, and you obviously you have to do along the flow of your lymph as well, so,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that's kind of standard. But it's not deep massage, it's very light. So you're not you're not sort of doing any kind of Swedish massage or anything like that. It's just really very light.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually a recognised qualification in terms of insurance. So you know, but it was good fun. It was really interesting. And in that, I do feel that part of the process that we're on at the moment, I feel that in terms of health-wise in the church. And the oils, it's God saying that we need to learn how to resonate with the oils. So it's not the oils themselves, it's the frequency that they bring. And so ultimately, I feel that we should be able to do this without the oils,
mm-hmm.
Because we should be able to resonate with that frequency from heaven. And what I feel at the moment with health, God's given me like a strategy, if you like, of like a drip feeding through getting people used to actually getting back into the habit of actually health is one of God's benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like it's about his love for us. But then breaking down those thought processes of unbelief and disappointments and things that we've, you know, started over the past few weeks, and to the point of applying how we engage with God to health. So going from laying on of hands to actually expanding our spirit around a situation or someone, and resonating with the truth of health and being able to engage with that, so that because the more we engage with and develop our spirit, the wider and bigger the conduit of flow will come through us to be able to impact the situation. So I feel that it's over the next, I don't know, however long, God just wants to challenge people's thinking and expectations, mm-hmm. because it doesn't just apply to health, it applies to every area of our lives. In terms of connecting with God, it applies to blessing, it applies to actually engaging with his heart for our destiny. It's just, so it's transferable. It's not just about health, it's about actively encouraging people to engage with God in a being not just a militant bystander and having stuff done for you, but actually being actively participating and pursuing. So I think that also is just a season that we're in order to bring health and also, you know, the blessings of God. We need to demonstrate that there's a difference to how we live, to and the benefit of actually engaging with God and knowing who we are should be visible to everyone. And at the moment, you know, if you look around the church, it's just probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, feedback?
When we do you know when you start the forgiveness therapy courses, and will it be during the day or in the evening?
We have to be trained first, so it'll be after the trained.
Okay.
So we're not trained until the 24th, 25th. And then it will be a case of organising something and putting it into practice as soon after that as possible. So it will need to be during the daytime, so we'll need to practice during the daytime. But then we're going to be delivering it during the daytime ultimately, so...
Mm-hmm.
We could even ask a few guys, you know, to practice on some of the guys out there.
The session is what, about an hour?
Their, 50 minutes. When we went for the training, I know it was quite a long time ago now, but we went, obviously we did 2-day training, and if anybody wanted to pursue it after that, they had to get down there several times to watch what they were doing.
No, I negotiated with Lindy, it's like, how can we do that? And she said that she would send someone up on a Thursday, which is what would be the Thursday would be about.
Oh, okay, so they would...
So they would do it, but we would either second or we would be actively involved in learning how to do it and applying it And you know, I've every time, you know, I've sought God about where do we start, you know, forgiveness therapy just keeps coming back, so I'm not going to ignore it. We are going to go with it. But I do believe it's just the beginning of stuff, and we will develop stuff. God will reveal to us how he wants us to develop and change. And it might be that we do it for a season. We might develop our own as we, you know, after we've had some learning from it, or we might stick with it. But, you know, that's... at the moment, I'm just asking God, where do we start? Because, you know, there are so many therapies and potentials out there that we need, it needs to be what God says and how he says. And so that's where we're starting. So we will be doing that. Alongside that, at the same time, we'll have some mindfulness. We'll be running in the afternoon, on a Thursday afternoon. So. That will be interesting. Start off with just really getting people just to be able to be frank. But a lot of people have been, that was previously offered as a service through, who was it, Deb? Was it Alexander Road?
There's been a few courses recently,
haven't there? Yeah. And people have been finding it hard to get on them or whatever. So this course is being run by Devon Recovery Learning. And that's mental health. So it's partly NHS funded. It's really to get people to take some ownership over improving their own mental health. And that's actually open not just to people who have a diagnosis, it's open to anyone, because we've all got mental health. It's whether it's poor or good. You know, and so everyone has the opportunity to be involved to keep their mental health good. And meditating, I feel that is having a recognised way of being able to engage with people, but actually introduce them to Jesus is just like result. Because it's just, you know, it's like, it's perfect.
So does that, they will deliver that?
They will deliver that.
And is there a training aspect to that for others who want to learn? Or?
There will be. I've asked to be involved in some of those. So they also co-tutor, so there's always two people involved, and for them, again, they're talking about people with lived experience, so the tutor will at least have some kind of lived experience of coming through a state of poor mental health and coming out the other side. So I'm not anticipating that we will be full on with their courses, because we want to be doing our own. But to start off with, in order to be recognised as a trainer, you need to have some group work experience. So it's all very well doing mindfulness yourself, but then it's about how do you facilitate a group, what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable. So for at least a year, possibly not quite that long, we'll need to have other people running it, but then we can actually, in between that, start doing, like, maybe, or let's just call it, we could have a meditation group. So applying mindfulness, you know, on a weekly basis, because their courses run quarterly, and so we're just doing one a quarter. And so in between that, we can get people to engage with truth or light or love or peace. You know, peace is perfect.
So then could we introduce any other things into that? Like, you know, diffusing oils and
potentially,
yeah, just other stuff that may bring in atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the whole thing is open to being able to do that completely in terms of looking at, you know, integrating many things into it. So, you know, if somebody expresses during that they're fidgety or whatever, you know, you could have somebody who's, if we've got somebody who's trained, you've got somebody in the corner being able to speak to their pops that are kicking up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like we can apply all sorts of things to it. because if, you know, God's going to give us a package, and if we're actually able to sit and use our discernment and have people who are engaging, then we can use each of the tools that we've got, because we know that going into the spirit, we can speak to their spirit, we can speak to their parts that are stuck, we can do what we need to do in the spirit, we can create that environment where people are open and accepting of what God's offering. So, because ultimately everybody's crying out for it on the inside, they just don't know what it's called or who he is. So yeah, it's quite exciting. Well, I do anticipate that this, you know, this is good news. This is blessing, this is freedom, this is harmony, you know, this is exchange, but, you know, this is everything that we're all about, and there are overlaps to all of this. So, I'm open to people's suggestions or insights, or totally, you know, this is just what I've just expressed as a starting point. It's not, you know, I'm not sure that God's got a much bigger, wider plan. We just need to start somewhere, and that's it.
Good.
I had a weird day today. I was walking through town, and this guy came in the other direction, and I vaguely recognised him. And then I fully recognised him, and he got, "Hi Dave. Hi mate. What are you doing?" "I've done my diploma in psychiatry." "Really?" "And I'm going to do a degree in psychiatry." "Really? Excellent. So what's that?" "That's the poacher turned gamekeeper," I said. Because he was completely lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked at me. He's still not quite there, but it's way, way better than it was. I just had to explain, you know, they make the best gamekeepers because they know all the tricks of the poacher.
Yeah.
So it's still a little bit, you know. I don't know, I don't feel to do oils, sound I think is the thing I think to do, but none of that's resonating, but something that's resonating like mad is some stuff that I did a very long time ago, which became part of a course called resilience and how to develop resilience.
Yeah.
And it goes through all the modes of behaviour of childhood and all of this sort of stuff and your relationship with your parents and all of that stuff and your friends circle and the support network that you build around you, yada, yada, yada. And I went to throw it away about 4 or 5 times, but never thrown it away. But I'll gladly bring it in if you want to look through it, because it does fill out the picture, because mindfulness is the one bit, but some of that deprogramming stuff has to be informed by that bigger...
Absolutely. And that's very much what the course was about last week, about trauma.
You inherited your behaviour from your parents. And funny enough, and that's the other thing, that's the weird day, because... there's a lot of stuff, millennials, this stuff about millennials.
Yeah.
And actually, they're all suffering the same kinds of things, which is failed parenting strategies, technology filtering life, reality from them, so being presented with avatars all the time, perfect visions of other people's lives, and they're comparing it to their behind-the-scenes lives, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Impatience, they don't understand that love takes time, they don't understand that the joy of climbing the mountain makes the reaching the summit the point.
Yeah.
They just want to get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
I was sat in the calf watching this all sort of, well, it wasn't, I was just plugged in and God was going, so it was a weird day. and there's, what's the other stuff that's going on with them? There's the stuff you were talking about, the additive concord, low self-esteem. So now they're getting little hits of dopamine by pinging everybody. Okay, okay, you know, texting and getting reply or getting likes on Facebook, and they get little hits of dopamine. So becoming addicted, there is a real condition now, being addicted to social media.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at the same time, this calf, there's two over here doing a Bible study.
that flies completely in the face of what we understand the good news to be, you know, traditional kind of oof. You know, I didn't say anything, but I could feel that was kind of wrong. You were just perpetuating the wrong thing again. And somebody else over here is doing something else that somebody's saying it was a solution to the problem he has in his life at the moment. I mean, it was all just sort of unfolding. Then I walk up the street and see the other guy who's like gone, yeah, I've got a diploma, and I'm thinking, hang on, so you're not going to administer to people that are, you know what I mean? You're not quite connected enough. Well, you're not connected to God. That's probably the bit I picked up on. Yeah. So there can't be any truth, so you might give somebody a mask of normality that they may be able to live for a bit longer, but they're still not actually plugged in.
Yeah.
So if you want some of that download, which I think it might be what it's all about.
Yes, please. Yes.
Then I'm around on Fridays.
Okay, I'm not here Friday.
Okay. Friday left.
Oh, you're around
Fridays.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Cool. I think on that, thinking about leading people into a relationship with God initially, using a reintegration at that point is something I think we need to think about how we would do that. Because I was talking to God about it, and having had, you know, on that Golden River thing, I had some encounters with fragmentation and different things in terms of the importance of it and how God wants to reintegrate people. And it was almost like if we can get people to reintegrate at the point of their engaging God for the first time by speaking to the parts or the whatever, at that point, then it will actually short circuit a lot of the stuff afterwards. Because they're coming into him and he's coming into them in a way. So it's like almost even if we don't say it to them, we can still be speaking to the parts that need to say yes to God and to all be invited to come into wholeness, because that's what Jesus is, the Prince of Peace, the one who brings people into wholeness. So at that point, I think there's a way in which we can actually, in an encounter, get people to walk into the light, into that, and all their parts walk in. Mm-hmm. You know, by addressing them, even if you're not addressing them, you know, physically, but spiritually, you're addressing their spirit and their soul to engage. And I think it's something we need to be aware of when we're looking to engage someone in a salvation type experience. Because I think from what God was saying is, if we can get people integrated right at the beginning, then the whole process is going to be accelerated.
Yeah, because I've done a lot of reading around that, and some people are fragmented in such a way that even if their core self has been engaged with Jesus, there are parts of them that will hold them back. So in terms of there will be, so there might be parts of them that don't want anything to know Jesus, that are uninterested, are cross with him, disappointed, all those sorts of things. But the whole process is about they get given the choice of, do you want to know him? Do you want to be free from this situation that you're in? And you know, they... invariably, actually, when they engage with him and feel the freedom that he brings, then that's when they get integrated. So they get integrated with Jesus, so that part goes to Jesus for that, and then Jesus at the right time integrates the part into the core person, the core part of the person. And sometimes that is, if that part gives you permission to just leave it with Jesus, and it just says yes, then Jesus does it at another time, in his time, and so it might not be during the ministry time, you might not actually see it and witness it, it's just that the person will be different, because Jesus will do it, because that person has agreed. So that part still has choice, and as long as it agrees, then Jesus does it from there. You don't actually have to do anything.
Because if the person who's conscious says, I want to engage in this activation to come and find Jesus, then that then gives the permission for Jesus to be able to engage with all the other bits.
It doesn't actually.
Well, not that, yeah, but it does allow him to be there and those other bits to be able to see him.
See.
And then when one has come, there is a testimony for the rest. And if we then can be speaking to their other parts while Jesus is engaging the part that says yes, then we can then open that whole thing up for that engagement, I think.
Yes, I think what I experienced was that was praying with one person and having and they their part, one part was that they were engaging with, that they saw was engaging with Jesus. In the spirit, I saw another part engaging with the Father, and I've also seen parts where Jesus appears to lots of parts all at the same time. Mm. So obviously being omnipresent, Jesus is just like as many parts as that came forward. So yesterday when we were in worship, God said to me to do something, so I went and Jesus just, there was like hundreds of Jesus ministering to the parts of this individual all at the same time. But so in the spirit we can engage that. Mm-hmm. So that they're so like Mike said, the core self is being meeting with Jesus and engaging with him. In the spirit we can be speaking to any other parts who would actually like to come and witness this. Mm-hmm. Or and to be calling them forward. But also we can beforehand, I think we can be legislating for actually broken parts and wholeness, because one of the things that the portal that was opened, one of the powers and authorities over health is wholeness. So we can be sort of legislating and calling that and making sure that we create that environment where there's more susceptibility to wanting to respond.
Mm-hmm. So I think the thing where God in Jesus has reconciled the whole cosmos to himself already, he's done his bit. So there's nothing for him to do other than to engage the bits that we have a ministry of reconciliation to be able to help people to then engage with him. So he's reconciled, but we have a ministry of reconciliation to be able to point those parts to the fact of what he's done.
Yeah.
So they can receive it and come into wholeness. And I think that's the, you know, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5, the 19 of there. It's like, it is a ministry and there's two parts to it. He's reconciled, but then it's then other parts coming into the reconciliation that's already there for them, which is our bit to introduce that ministry of reconciliation to them.
I have found that some parts actually need to forgive the core part as well.
Yes.
And sure, vice versa.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just don't want to do it.
One of the things that I've not experienced this, but read about it, is that you can ask the part to put it down and let go. So give them a choice. Why don't you can try it, and if you don't like it, you're perfectly at liberty to go back to how you were. And they said in this book that actually that works really well, because once people experience the freedom of not carrying that kind of burden around, they don't want to go back to picking it up again. So but it's very much about speaking to the part as an individual with their own choice and their own, because what they're saying is that fractured parts was God's answer to stopping people getting completely broken in the face of trauma.
Mm.
So where he's made a way for us to stay safe, although it's not our ideal state, we do need to be healed of that. He's also made a way for each part to be reconciled back to him and to the core self. So I'm very much like on a steep learning curve with it.
Yeah.
myself. And every experience is different, but it's really, really interesting, and I really feel in my spirit it is absolutely paramount in what we're offering, mm-hmm. because we see so many fractured, broken people.
No, it's a huge thing. And actually it doesn't stop with this side of the veil either, mm-hmm. because yeah, having gone to fiery place, whatever you want to call it, you know, consuming fire of God's love, and engaged my family lines, generational lines there, you know, there has been some good response sometimes, depending on you know what preparation has been done, but not the level of response that you would think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd think going to a place where people are not knowing God's love, but are in the intense presence of the fire of God's love to refine them and give them the opportunity of changing, you'd think they'd want to respond. So when I was on that Golden River, it's like one of the flags, I stood on it, and immediately this whole fragmentation thing really sort of came round me, and I just saw that this was a key issue. So I went there and I thought, well, how do you offer integration? So I asked Jesus to come with me, and so he came and stood, and I offered the you know wholeness, Prince of Peace in that sense, but then I sort of really sort of shared the good news of it, of the opportunity of being made whole, of coming back into wholeness, because the reason why they weren't making the decision is because they were double-minded, triple-minded, quadruple-minded, and the other fractured minds, unable to say yes. So some were saying yes, and others were, I'm afraid, yeah. or I can't say yes, or I don't want to say yes. And so once I sort of introduced them to peace, and they responded, I mean, it was just an amazing thing to see all these parts coming together in him. And you know, so it isn't just this side either. If we're going to engage in restoring those who have a choice, then the same choices apply. There's multiple choice, if you like, that is in there, which is why they are there in the first place, a lot of them. And therefore, we can also do the same thing there and offer integration into wholeness and preach that as this is something that Jesus has made available, you can be reconciled. You know? And it was really, really effective. More so than anything else I ever did there.
Right. That's food for thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I do think that anybody who is part of the ministry team and who is interested in ministry needs perhaps to have some understanding of the wider context now. So how we do that is going to be interesting, because people may not necessarily just be interested in Skyping or doing stuff, but if they are aware that these other opportunities are available,
mm-hmm.
or could be made available, and they can partake of that, then participate in that, then we need to make sure people have got an opportunity to do it. So we need to think about how we share this.
Is it right that you're planning to share to the church at some point this stuff anyway? So it could be picked up after that then, could it?
Yeah, probably.
It would be useful to find out on Monday if anybody's interested in doing forgiveness therapy, so I've got an idea of numbers. And so that people are aware of it, they can put it in their diary.
So are you planning to come on Monday? Because we need to explain what it is, and so that people got a
yeah. Right, leave that for a minute. Did we want to talk about the conference? There were some questions or some things that were issues for the seven. Or have they been put to bed now?
Well, some of the issue is obviously We've got to a place where we've advertised conferences. The numbers of people who signed up for them are pretty small. The number of people who are interested in the intensives is much higher. So, looking at, okay, God, well, did you ask us to do conferences? It was like, yeah, I believe so, but maybe not necessarily the way that we would normally run them, which is like physically inviting people here and then putting it all on and having to do a lot of things. So I was talking to Dave on Thursday about, you know, live streaming, and so we're offering it as a live streaming thing as well. But then really looked at, well, actually, is live streaming an event or doing something like that better in the long run, because we can reach people all over the world, rather than just trying to put all the effort of getting people here. Because you get someone from America to come here, it's like, you know, £1,000 minimum, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to necessarily get a huge amount of people, but it, can we do it in different ways and make it integrated and interactive, which we're sort of looking at. So we thought for this one, we would obviously look to see if there's interest from people here to make it sort of workable in terms of enough people to come together, engage and do it. And then we can look at sort of look at other techniques of things that we can learn from that. Then maybe the next ones actually look to develop it as a more online thing with interaction, because we can ask the questions, do questions and answer sessions, so that in one sense it means we wouldn't have to close the centre or actually create a whole thing of doing stuff, but we could still reach people and, you know, do that. So that's what we were looking at. That's why we asked, you know, who would be wants to come, to see, you know, is there a viable number of people to do it with. But learning from that, then we were looking at.
Do you think there was, is there?
From the people who actually were there. Yeah, yes, there's a reasonable number of people who said yes to being able to come to some of the sessions or all of them. Which would, you know, give us to be able to live stream it and see how that works with people who may want to interact with that by emailing in questions or acting. So I've sort of got Jeremy on developing more of an advert directly for the live streaming to explain what it will, how it works and whatever else, so we can promote that. Just looking at being able to do things in different ways. And I think we were both talking about it and felt quite good about that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think, if you take the point is the geographic thing and time pressure make it difficult for people around the world. And if you're looking internally, it's a day, people have to turn up for a couple of days or 3 days, they have to be there. Actually, when you go to conference, the great things are you can get to speak to others or talk about the content or go and seek out Mike and so on. But like Mike was saying, there's people in Australia, there's people in America. So we could do the live part of the event, so we can pre-package a teaching, as much as teaching, so then we can be live for the supporting of the teaching, talking about the teaching. Using online media. So it's like an online live event, but we stretch it out over time. So we can put the first piece up and say, okay, we'll be back for the second bit in 24-48 hours. Everybody can have a look at it, submit their questions for the Q&A, then we can do the Q&A. So we're kind of doing that around more. The idea is to get more people to join into it, without having to fly halfway around the world to get to it. So, and we did feel work as we were discussing it. It seemed to make sense to me. It was quite exciting. It opens the funnel right out, basically, for lots more people. So as I said to Mike, really, if you watch the first one and you think, "Wow, I'm getting something from that," tap off your questions. You probably get up for the second one. And we say, "Well, the second one's going to be at GMT, you know, 10 or whatever's the best, given whoever's looking." So we're trying to fit the next bit, not taking into account the messages that are coming. But I think that one's after this initial thing that was promoted on Sunday, which is people come here, Mike runs the content, we get to see how the content goes, we learn what we can about that and what people get from that and how we can extend that out, you know, that kind of stuff, and see how that goes. I think that's where we're at. Are there enough people to make an audience for that?
So why would the intensives be through the week and not close the centre, the conference close the centre?
Because the intensives are for lesser numbers of people. So they were never intended for a whole load of people who would need to fill a hall.
So do we use this space until we've got the space downstairs developed?
Yeah, so essentially we can do it with a smaller number of people but have a much more intensive interactive stuff. Less teaching but more acting, activations, doing things, feeding back, response. So it's a more intensive thing. And you know, the first intensive is in April and we've already got virtually all of it full.
How many are on the intensive?
Well, 20. Although we could stretch that a little bit. If essentially it was full and there were people wanting to, we could probably make it 25 or something. But 20 would be sort of a number that people would be able to be in a safe environment, and they're coming because this is an intensive. Mm. You know, they're not coming to a conference. And I think in some senses maybe conferences that are things that people have done and done and done, mm-hmm. And we, even this, the way we would do this is not just like a teaching thing. It's going to be interactive, and we really want to engage in some things that maybe people haven't done before. But we have to, I think, find ways of looking to engage people, and then seeing, you know, those who really, really want to engage. So you know, we've got people who've signed up for all the intensives, so they're coming to all of them. Yeah. From different parts.
I just wonder, like with the conferences, there is something about exactly what you said about meeting people.
Yes.
It's like whether there's still room for you to go to geographic groups like you did last year. I'm not saying you have to travel as much this year, like you did last year, but there is something about that, I think, when you go where people are there, where they meet you, where they interact with you.
Yeah, there is.
But whether we can do some of that,
find ways of interactingly doing that online. So that it becomes a themed thing which is focused, and creatively find ways of actually how we can engage people in an interactive way in it.
Because
I don't really want to travel that much.
Yeah.
You know.
But I don't see.
I mean, I've got invitations to go in four or five places already. But
I don't see it as either.
Said
or
no.
Then.
For most of the time.
Never mind, didn't want to travel this year, which was.
Yeah.
But I'm saying. But probably room for both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's an either.
She obviously wants
to. Be honest, I think
she wants to send you away.
There is one that is potential for this year, and there are a few others that I've just said, look, I'm not going to be able to travel. We're going to do these other things. And, you know, yeah, I'm not saying that I won't ever travel, but I've felt, let's concentrate on being able to do something that we can deliver in different ways, then yes, that could be taken. But actually, if we can make it interactive and find the creative ways of doing that, then actually people may, you know, because they can either look at them live or how we release them, or they can look at the whole lot over a period of time, and we can make ways that interaction can go on. And continue to go on.
That would be the beauty of that, wouldn't it? Because it would be recorded, so you can watch it over and over and get more revelation as you're watching
but
it again.
But how do we get the integration and the inclusion and the taking part without you having to, because you're only suspect, but what it will do is it will increase the demand for an actual real event where they actually come and meet people and they meet each other and they have that part of the relationship. You know, I know that that's where it will end up.
And that
might be somewhere else, but it would be much bigger.
Yeah.
I just can see it being much bigger because people have got the opportunity to engage and be culturally literate when they come here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of that personal interaction, people might get more people being in demand for the intensives because they've done some things like, oh, I'm definitely going to come for that, so they'll get that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that we've got to look at, and this is an important thing, is by not having Mike travelling and doing this elsewhere, by actually having it here, there's an opportunity for other people to learn and to get involved and see what they're called to do and pick stuff up, because this all can't rest
on my forever. So we have to get to some succession planning here. We also have to get to some people developing into something. And it's actually very difficult for us to do that if Mike's doing this in South Africa or China.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for us to have a period where we're learning here,
mm-hmm.
and where we can all get engaged with it. Or those of us who may feel we're called to do something mm-hmm. can learn.
Yeah. And there is a possibility of doing that in that, you see, if we're going to do, let's say, an 8-session conference type thing,
mm-hmm.
that could be done over 2 or 3 weeks here, in which people here could, I could deliver it to people here. Mm-hmm. It's recorded as this themed thing, and then we have that to be able then to release as a live stream thing when we're ready. We can top and tail it, we can make it more professionally looking, we can do all the stuff that will make it easier for people to interact and have everything in place. So there's different ways of doing it. I don't have to just do it in my office, to the screen. Well, I can do that, but actually, it's much easier for me to talk to people. When people are there, you do get an interaction that you don't. Well, although I'm, learning to get over that because I'm just doing, Vision Destiny 18. I've just done 4 sessions of that, but I found it really easy to preach to the screen because I know I'm not preaching to the screen. Not because I'm seeing the people out there who are going to receive it, if you like. So there are ways of being able to do that. So that actually people could, again, pick it up, and testimonies, interaction could all be part of it. We could even have sort of a way that more than one person can interact. But we have to sort of look at how we develop that practically to make it effectively something that people would want to participate in who are in Seattle or New Zealand, which is, 8 hours behind, or 13 hours, or 10, or 11, 12, or 11, depending on what time of year, ahead, which is quite a sort of spectrum of trying to actually get people to tune in. So
but you're engaging God, mentor, all over the world, anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a level of, we can run shifts, it's a 24/7 world, so we can actually run shifts on some of that. Being part of an event that's still currently alive, feedback then. To me, we can sort of say to them, well, look, can you run the clock from here to here? On the responses on the forum or whatever we use as the.
Yeah, there are different ways of doing it. And depending on what the subjects are, I think other people can be involved. I think it is really, really important that we have in place some things, not. Because this is equipping people, but eventually the same people will need the same equipping here, because we want to see people come through. And therefore, if we're going to see that, how can we do that in ways which are maybe more accessible? So one of the things I felt God say is, think of 2 years, what would we want to see in place in an equipping sense, which is broken down into a more fresh start type approach that we would want if we were to equip people from new beginnings, fresh start, all the way through. So, are there other booklets that we feel, if we had a booklet for this, for this, for this, for this, then there would be a thing, and therefore anybody could deliver them because the material would be developed just like you've done with Fresh Start once people are equipped. Because that means that it wouldn't matter ultimately up to the point where we're going, because we already could pull together a legislative and government booklet because the material's pretty much there for that. We could do transformation. We could do probably seeing and hearing. We could do inner life. Which would be include gateways and first love and all those type of things. If we had a number of those things and have them developed, then lots of people could have, because the material's there.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't necessarily mean that you'd have to be able to do what I do, but we need to develop that, just like we develop the other things, in a way that then makes it available. Because, things do change. And God wants us to grow and develop and to do things, and you know, I can't guarantee what God's going to want me to do in 2 years' time, for sure, you know, because who knows? So in light of that, I think it's something that we need to think about. You know, what would we feel we need in place? And look then to sort of prioritise having those things in place, which will be a much more sort of robust process for people. Because as you've broken down previous things that I've done to make it more accessible for people who don't necessarily at the same level, then that could all be done in the same way. It's not dumbing it down, but it's making it more accessible. I think that's something which I think is something to really think about and consider to be ready. In light of that also, it's like, have the seven got any things of what is going to happen after I finish doing this?
Well, what we...
Which is only one more session.
Yeah, well, I was just waiting for the opportunity to say. And what we feel is that we would like it much more interactive and encounter-led. And the thought that we all had when we all stepped in was about, like, groups... smaller groups where is that we felt like God was saying something, but we don't know necessarily what it looks like or who should do it. It was just the thing of like we kind of felt we need to bring it here because it's not although we might
but you are looking at the week after next.
Yeah, it's fine, but this is the first time that we've
no pressure, right?
Well, it's pressure for us, it's pressure for all of us because it's not this is what we felt, so we're throwing it into the the mix. We what we felt was that we would like you around on Sundays rather than just being off in another room doing your talk to a wall or whatever it is that you were. But what we felt is quite important that you're actually part of this, of us here. Because one thought that you had was that you could just go and do your talk somewhere else.
No, what my thing was I could do what I've done before and do with the people who want to do it. Ongoing the advanced stuff because it is important that everyone here is going to be able to go on where it's going, otherwise everyone will be stuck at a point where we can't go any further because we haven't listened to any of the stuff or done any of the stuff of where it's going in the next 2 years.
It's really important and there's a commitment obviously for people to listen to the if they're not going to be listening to you on a Sunday or whenever it is you do it, that needs to be a priority, and we need to keep feeding people all the time that it's really important that they listen to that for that reason. But we're just really conscious that we have an ongoingly fluid group of people who, when they first come to us, aren't interested, don't know anything, like don't want to participate, but are not around for too long before they're actively engaging. And they relate really well when it's bite-sized pieces, whether it's simple, where it's foundational, and that's the place that we feel that we want to keep that fluidity because it's engaging with truth, with Jesus, with all of those things. So we don't necessarily feel we need to keep doing foundations as in basic foundations because obviously we would just be doing this cycle of going round and round and round, but it's actually really important that we include, that we are giving the Crosscombe guys truth.
But the previous thing is, if you're not going to do foundations live, then we really need to have something in place that actually we could either do through the groups or other things, so that people will still be able to get that basic stuff of beyond fresh start to seeing and hearing and ultimately other things. Because otherwise, where will the people? I mean, because the only recourse then is for people to go and listen to the stuff from 2013 or whatever onwards online if there's nothing else that we're going to help, and that is not as accessible.
One of the things that we felt God was saying, that actually in the past when we've broken down and had groups and there've been things to discuss and questions and answers and how does this work and what does it look like, I mean I've very rarely been here when that's been present because it's usually been when we've not been around, but feedback is always that that's really people really relate to that, where it's in a smaller setting where people can actually ask and then engage and then do whatever. I don't know. I mean, do you feel we could do foundations? It's just the same people will just do the same foundations over again.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, let's look at how we introduce other ways of doing that so that it's there. At the moment, you've got Fresh Start, which is there. So we can feed people into a Fresh Start one-on-one or with a few group of people. But what about the stuff which is after Fresh Start that then takes it further?
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
We haven't got material for that.
No, but that's what we need to look to develop. If you're not going to develop it or not going to teach it, then there's got to be another forum or another way of being able to communicate that with people. Otherwise, when are those people going to... Because, okay, let's say new people come. When are those people then going to do all the stuff that was foundational a few times for people?
Well, you kind of hope that they would be... Like, they do Fresh Start and they would do belonging and they would be fed into a group and that's
yeah,
where...
But in the group or other things, I think there is stuff which needs to be available like Fresh Start. Other materials that anyone could be able to help people through, and it's something people would have and be able to ongoingly work through it.
Yeah, but you've just said that, haven't you?
Yeah, but we've got to be able to do it alongside it.
We did originally think, didn't we, back along, that we would have the groups 1 week and it was like on the train tracks doing something like that, you're saying.
Yeah, sort of having...
Possibly on the opposite weeks, but... Mm.
But you know, we haven't got the material in place. So we need to look at what that material would be. What are the main things that we would want covered, and look to develop it. But it worked before in that it wasn't just one person developing it. There was input from others. So people felt, yeah, I'd like to input into that because that's an area that my heart's in. Or so, you know, I'm happy to be around, but I also would be happy to teach people who want to do that. You know, there was always a group of 15 or 20 people who wanted to do ongoingly stuff. So, just saying that group of people then will just be involved in doing
stuff. I thought you said that you were happy to be around and do things differently and just do your... You said even if it's to a room with no one else
well,
in
I
it.
Well, I can do that any time.
Yeah, well, I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, I can be flexible to deliver things in all sorts of ways. So, but I'm just saying...
Well, we were saying we didn't think that you should do that on a Sunday.
Yeah, here's a thought then. It's a thought that I had as I went out there and came back. Why don't we, because the groups on the Thursdays are okay, but you're talking about groups on the Sunday. So why don't we make the Thursday Mike's Advanced Teaching available? Yes, because that's an opt-in, a different value as well. And the Sundays more about the relationship things that we're trying to do with the groups.
But we weren't thinking particularly for the groups that there would be the four Facebook groups.
Yes, I was. I know.
Just be groups of people who wanted to get together.
Yeah, so that would. But I think that probably would come out about groups and so on and so forth. And all of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what I don't want to do is create another evening and another evening and another evening.
Yeah, we weren't thinking of Sunday being groups as in like set groups. It was more people engaging in smaller.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
smaller so how does that work?
So,
because if you want to get people to break down into groups, they've got to have had some sort of introduction to the purpose and the discussion, and then have some knowledge of the subject in order to talk about what the group is talking about. And then how do you, if you do that every week, how do you stop people just migrating to the group of people that they like, rather than integrating with other groups? And how do you actually have any community in that without creating a load of cliques?
So using the groups you've already got, and then other people who aren't in groups coming into those would actually keep the relationships as they are.
It's like, well, what's the purpose of Sunday morning then?
Well, if you just have it as in, so you take your, you do your teaching, say in here like you did before, and you take those people that wanted to do advanced teaching in here, which I see that, totally see that working, but then somebody else has got to take responsibility and feel they've got a mandate to do something with everyone else.
So, yeah, but that would be the case anyway, because
I've got a mandate
to do groups every week. So someone's going to have to take responsibility for that, because it isn't going to be me. I could be involved,
I
don't have a mandate to facilitate
forgetting the literal interpretation of me using the word groups, and whether you understand it in terms of that currently we have Thursday groups that look at particular pieces of Mike's teaching, scrapping that for a minute, and just going to the relationship component of the groups that we're attempting to do on Thursday, whatever the subject matter is that comes up at those groups, is that something that actually is what we're seeing as a Sunday thing, that it's about the relationship stuff on Sundays, yes, and the interconnectivity of it, and the sharing of things, and the understanding, just park that for a second, and the stuff that Mike's doing, is that deliverable on the Thursday? So you're saying, so it's the same time commit for people, but I specifically know that Thursdays is about what Mike's going to be, what Mike would have done on the Sunday, and on the Sunday. But now on the Sunday, it's a sharing of what Mike taught, our understanding of it, and other materials that you put to bring. Is that kind of, explain that clearly? I'm not quite got there.
No? Having groups of people who are meeting in homes or wherever does create a place where it's very different from all meeting in the same room, and there's all sorts of stuff going on, and it doesn't seem very relational.
At the same
or
time, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, does God want that every week? No. Is there a mandate for what God does want each time we meet? Yes. So what is it? I don't think it's small groups of people that are breaking down every time we meet. I think it's interactive things that God is saying this week. Hey, I want to, like Becky shared on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Then actually in the worship time, that opened up to a few other things, and it sort of flowed and it worked together. But someone sort of did something that then triggered and catalyzed other things to take place.
Yes.
And I think that's much more interactive and practical, and things happened because people responded, than just, well, we're going to break down and talk. If you're going to break down and talk, someone's going to have to deliver something first so that people can break down and talk. Yeah, still someone's got to actually share something that breaks it down.
I think what we kind of felt was like the mandate-y, interaction-y type, like you've just said. But what does that look like in a sense of somebody has to each week to do that?
Well, it's seeking God for what the mandate is for that particular purpose that day. And that can be planned a month ahead, because God can say, well, okay, the next month we're in this season, we're going to really focus, like we did on disappointment. We did a couple of weeks in disappointment, then we did the interactive day. No reason why God can't say, here's the season where we're going to do 3 or 4 weeks of this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. It's just a matter of actually getting a mandate for what he's actually saying, making sure everyone's aware of that, so we're aware of the season we're in, and then each of the mountains seeking God about, is there something that God wants this mountain to input into that?
So are you saying that should happen at a 7 and then we should bring it here at some point? Part of what we're trying to say is we're only 5 people.
Yeah.
And not necessarily of those 5 people, do they have a mandate to do things on a Sunday?
But if it's
this thing, which is a government thing.
Yeah. But it isn't just here that can take place. If everyone is mindful of the here is something that we feel is God wanting us to do for this period or whatever, then everyone can be engaging for what that might look like. Do they want to share something? It's like, you know, Becky obviously got a mandate from God to share something on Sunday, and she did it. So other people could get similar things and do it, and then there could be an interaction. And if we coordinated it in that we communicated to make sure that, hey, you know, I don't think it's that difficult to engage God and say, okay, give us a season of something you want to do. And then in that season, we can do various things that will help facilitate the purpose for that season to be outworked. Whether that be, maybe someone does actually share a whole thing, maybe it's a small, surer thing, or actually we're going to do a whole engagement today of deliberately engaging that, whatever it might be, to facilitate interaction. Engaging with the angelic, facilitating the interaction of it until that season is complete. You know, and then he'll have already told us what the next season is, so we'll already be thinking about that. You know, and there's no reason. God is not a God of confusion. He is quite capable of telling us in advance what he wants us to do in the next 6 months. You know, it's not creating a program. It's actually saying, God, you show us how we can then all interact with that, because we're not going to tie it all down and say, well, it's all going to be so organized. We're going to make room, just like there was room on Sunday. There was room on Sunday to interact. And I think engaging, you know, in terms of how we engage with what we call our worship time or a praise time, you know, I think that can be, you know, very much sort of engaging what's going on in heaven and interacting with the angelic realm in a much more fluid, flexible way, that we can find ways of helping people to participate in, like we've done before. You know, I think all the other things that have been done have sounded great, and the things I've seen, it's really good because people have interacted and they've engaged. You know, and even some of the guys from Crosscombe, even when it wasn't said you have to do this, they were coming up pinning stuff to the cross, you know, because the cross was up. It wasn't up this week, so they weren't there anyway, so it didn't matter too much. But in a sense, they are picking up the fact that they can do something.
Yeah.
You know, and the more we facilitate the doing things and interacting, you know, I think the easier it will be. You know, and I know I take a back seat on a lot of that because I don't want to be the person who's saying, well, I can see this all the time. Because, you know, otherwise it always falls down to me to say, and actually all of us could see, you know, and engage in that and begin to act in that. Because it's only a matter of, okay, God, show me what's in the room. You know, why are those three angels standing over there? What are they here for? You know, why have you sent them today? Just like, well, why is this portal open? You know, we've got a portal on top of the stairs, which is closed predominantly most of the time, until it leaked a few smells through it. You know?
Most of that, we sorted that out.
Yeah. But actually, that's a portal that we have access to use. And actually, even when you stand on the top of the stairs, it's hotter in anywhere else, very warm, other than any other part of the building. Which is like, when all the heating was off and all that sort of stuff, it was just like, you go and stand up there, it's like, how is it so hot here? Because there's no reason for it other than there is a portal there. So some of that, it's like, okay, well, what's that portal for? What are we going to use that for? Because we need to legislate and govern it. So we don't want things coming through it that shouldn't be, but we also need to look at, this is something that we've been given, and it's there, guarded most of the time, so it's not being opened inappropriately, but actually we have got it's been given to us to legislate into that. And there may be things we need to call to come. You know, we've got legions of angels at our disposal, but which ones should we be inviting? Well, you know, I think there's a lot of sort of interactiveness about this that I think will facilitate more and more people being involved. And feeling comfortable to, I saw this, you know, and I feel God's saying, you know, he wants to do this. And we've done it before, but I don't think we've followed it through in that way. So, you know, if that is what you're looking to do on a Sunday, you know, I'm very happy to be part of that process, but also I'm also happy, not necessarily every week, but maybe to do some stuff now and again. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to keep producing stuff for the Engaging God program, which is going further than where we are now. So, you know, I'm going to be doing that one way or another, and I wouldn't want people to not be able to access that in a way which is easy to access if they want to. So we don't have to do the same thing every week, actually. We can do multiple things.
I think the thing to remember is that one of our scrolls is to equip the Joshua generation. Yeah. And although the Engaging God program does that sort of internationally, our aim always needs to be equipping people who are here. Mm. And when, so New Year and like beginning of January, when Joe sent round a text message saying that Mike wasn't around, all I said to God was, okay, if you want me to share anything, just let me know. So I prayed and I didn't hear anything particularly. And then the day before, or the night before, actually, he said, I want you to do this. And I believe that it was because he wanted me to not prepare. And did that twice to me. So he said, because he, first of all, when I said, do you want me to do anything? He said, if I asked you to do something, would you do it? And I said, yes. So it's like, okay. So I said, do you want me to do anything? Silence. So it wasn't until literally, it was just like, I woke up like in the middle of the night before, when he was just like, do this. I'm like, okay. So, but then the following week, similar thing. I didn't get anything until 6:30 in the morning. But, and previously I would have been like, I've got to, you know, write it all down, and, you know, I didn't. I had like a few lines on a bit of paper, and it was a case of, actually, God, you need to give me this. And it's obviously what he, you know, wanted to do. But I think that was partly what he wanted me to do, not the way that we necessarily all have to do all the time, last minute kind of like .com.
But the way that is to create a dependence on trusting God to be able to do what he asks you to do. He may not give you the whole thing, but it's like, well, I've got an inkling that God wants. And then when you get there, it opens up and you feel, well, I need to share. Like if you received a prophetic word or a prophetic picture, it's like, well, when am I going to bring it? Do I bring it? You're thinking about it because it's being inspired. It's no different. We're just wanting that whatever God gives to be released, and generally it's so that people can interact with it, you know, and engage with it in a practical way. You know, but it may well be that, you know, we need a wider input into what those seasons are so that we can, you know, engage together perhaps here to say, okay, well, let's seek God for, you know, our, because it's a representation of all the mountains and everything, but it isn't just the seven, but the seven are obviously the ones who are responsible for the environment where it takes place. So there's the, you know, preparing that environment, you know, the open heaven, inviting the angels, sort of making sure that when we do have those things, that it's a good environment for it to happen in. So whatever declarations you make or do in preparation for that, and, you know, releasing a sound that connects with people's spirit, that stirs them to participate. You know? And there's lots of different ways of participating in a way which will help people engage. It's like, you know, a lot of the, you know, the banners and stuff like that, there's some of that which is very much sort of, I'm expressing something before God in worship, but actually some of it is very much is, no, I'm here opening something up for you. I'm wanting to change something to enable people to walk through.
Like a declaration or interact,
yeah. And yeah, you know, there's lots of things to it. But actually, what we don't do is explain that, do we? No one says, well, actually, this is what I was doing, and actually, I was doing this because now God wants you to engage. Those of you who didn't pick that up before, here you can engage. You know, whether we lay it on the floor and help people to engage that way, or even, look, this is opening something for people to experience this now. You know? Helping people to engage, because someone says, well, this is what it's about, it's much easier for people to engage it if they know what's going on, rather than, well, I can see what's happening and a few other people probably see and it's happening, but a lot of people are sort of not necessarily in tune with that yet. And the more we share it, the more people will become in tune with it. So that the interactive, you recognise it, yeah.
Experience,
yeah.
So how do we want to leave that then? Do we say, can everyone engage and find out what season we're in?
Yeah, I think it would be good something to do. All the mountains engage and let's see if God is giving something some clear in terms of the next period of time and how long that might be. Definitely. You know, where I'm going next with the actual engaging God thing is the restoration of all things. So, you know, the reason we're engaging heaven and legislating and governing is because God wants to restore everything. And so I'm going to do that as a preparation then of this is why we need to engage the heavens and all the things we need to do, because we're involved in this process of restoration. And I will sort of expand that a bit in terms of my present understanding or lack of in some areas of what that really means, but it's way more than what I ever thought it might be. So, you know, like, oh yeah, God restore everything. So it's just like, ah.
What's all?
But our interaction with it is really, really important, you know, because we have been given that ministry of reconciliation to help see things restored. Because we're restored, primarily, then we become an instrument for restoration for the whole of creation, yeah, ourselves. Yeah.
Anything else before we go?
Only other thing I've got is this: the date that Justin Abraham and whoever, his wife and whoever, is the 13th of February, which is a Tuesday. So,
okay.
And then Wednesday, I think they are planning to go down to Totnes. I've asked for some clarification what they might want. Okay. Not got anything as yet. I know they've just done some sort of love fest for the weekend or something, so they're pretty caught up in that. So I've sort of messaged again just to say, okay, when are you coming? When are you going to stay till? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to Totnes or are you staying for the evening? Just to find out, you know, literally a little bit more about what they're looking for. But they are coming to see what we do, mm-hmm. and to, I think, look at where some help from where they're going.
So do we need to book a meeting room for that day?
Possibly.
Or what day is it?
It's so Tuesday. Tuesday the 13th.
Because they've got organisational things they need to sort out as well.
Well, I think they want to talk about practical things of how you establish something, you know, more than a company of people who, you know, have the same heart but don't actually do anything together. So they are meeting together in a different way, but they need to take the next step. So mm-hmm. I think they're looking for some of that, you know, as well as seeing actually what we're doing in engaging the community, because they do have a heart to do that as well in some ways. So, mm-hmm. And then they're going down to look at the wild and wacky world of Totnes as well. So,
mm-hmm. Awesome.
So some interesting stuff down there.
Can you book the training room for that day for the chair, please?
Right, got it. Time to go on then.